by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
There was a young girl who was writing a paper for school, and she came to her father and she asked him, "Dad, what is the difference between anger and exasperation?" And the father replied, "Well, it's mostly a matter of degree." And he said, "Let me show you what I mean." And so the father took the telephone and he dialed a number at random. And a man answered the phone and he says to the man, "Hello, is Melvin there?" And the man said, "Well, there's no one here by the name of Melvin." And the father apologized and hung up. And then the father said, "Now, let me kind of show you what anger is." And he dialed the same number, and the man answered the phone, and he says, "Is Melvin there?" And the man said, "Why don't you check the number before you call again? You just called here. No, there's no Melvin here," and he slammed the phone down. And the father said to his daughter, "Now, you see, that is anger. Now let me show you what exasperation is." And so the father picked up the phone, dialed the same number, and the same man answered. And very calmly, the father said, "Hi, this is Melvin. Have you had any calls for me today?" Well, there is, anger is an issue. We're in a series called 40 Days of Love. And you might be saying, "Pastor, what does anger have to do with love?" And the reality is that anger is an emotion in the same way that love is an emotion. And God in His Word actually talks about love and anger in the same portions of Scripture. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be just reading a few verses today, verses 4 through 7, speaking about love, and says, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." My friends, let me begin by saying that anger is often misunderstood. It is often an emotion that we have very little understanding about. We usually look at anger and we say, anger is sin. And sometimes, some of us have been taught to believe that anger is always sin. How many times have we even mentioned to our children or to other individuals when they became angry that we've given them an idea that that was sinful? And yet, anger in itself is a God-given emotion, and God Himself gets angry. I didn't cite any scriptures, but I know that you can recall with me times throughout particularly Old Testament history where it talks about God becoming angered. And God is usually angered at what? Sin. God usually becomes very angry over sin. Jesus became angry. We're familiar with the account where Jesus went to the temple, and there they were exchanging money in a not-so-scrupulous way, and they were taking advantage of individuals by selling sacrifices, and Jesus actually overturned the tables of the money changers. Now, did Jesus sin when he did so? Absolutely not. Foundational to our understanding of who Jesus is, Jesus never sinned. So when we look at God and we look at the Lord Jesus, we know that anger is not always sin. Sometimes anger is good and it's necessary. It's even helpful at times. For instance, if somebody hurt your wife or somebody hurt your children, would you get angry? Because you're angry, does that make your anger sin? Not necessarily. It would probably be more of a sin to just allow for that, to just pretend that it didn't happen. And so we need to gain an understanding of what anger is. Let me ask you a question. What is the opposite of love? I knew somebody would say anger. Do you think so? Hate? Someone has said that the opposite of love is not anger, it's apathy or not caring. It's an interesting thought. You see, I keep saying that the problem is not anger. It's whether or not the anger is expressed in a way that is appropriate. Controlled anger or managed anger can be a good thing. It can build relationships. It can produce leaders who will stand up against that which is wrong. It can produce churches who will stand against the sin and seek to proclaim the truth and reach out into a community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem is, however, most of us do not know how to express anger appropriately. Who taught you how to be angry? Truth is, nobody had to teach us how to be angry. Somewhere, when you were a child, you learned how to become angry and kick and scream and maybe throw things and somebody took your toy and you said, mine! And
Craig did that.
But you learned how to be angry. Nobody taught you. It was something that, an emotion that is given to you. But nobody really taught you how to manage that anger. For most of us, we didn't attend a class that says, you know, this is how to be angry and how to be angry in an appropriate way. This is the appropriate way to express anger. They probably, you know, it would be nice if I could say that you learned how to do that in church, but probably you didn't. It would be nice if we could say we learned how to do that in Sunday school, but probably we didn't. It would be nice if we could say, you know, they taught you in school how to be angry in an appropriate way, but probably they didn't. Because most of us, when somebody gets angry, we immediately label that as inappropriate behavior. But the problem is, for that, we need to understand that anger can be an appropriate response if anger is expressed in a controlled way. Most of us, this is going to be fun, most of us express our anger in one of two ways. We're either turtles or skunks. When a turtle becomes angry or intimidated, what do? They pull inside their shell. And some of you, when you become angry, you immediately stuff it. You shut down. You pull into the shell and you close the door. How many of you are turtles? Oh, come on, some of you have to be. I'm married to one, come on. All right. Now, I won't ask how many of you are skunks, but the difference between a turtle and a skunk is a skunk just puts up a stink everywhere. And when that person becomes angry, you know it because they're going to get in your face and tell you that. How many of you is that person? Right? Now, I saw you point at your wife. The interesting thing is that probably most of you who are married, one of you is one kind of expresser and the other is the opposite. How many couples is that true? One of you will just explode and the other will just stuff it. God bless you if you'll both explode. You're in big trouble. The point is that we express anger in different ways. And just because we don't express anger in a volcanic sort of way, that doesn't mean that anger is dangerous. Being the kind of person that would be the one that would be more expressive of anger, I would tend to think that I look at that as the healthier way to handle it. But that's, of course, my own perspective. Because I think it can be very damaging to an individual to just hold all that anger in and allow it to just take its toll on the individual. But anger always needs to be expressed, but we need to learn how to express it in the correct ways. Let me give you a few facts about anger. First of all, the average woman loses her temper 3 times a week. Okay, so you don't agree with that one. How about this one? The average man loses his temper 6 times a week. More like 7, once a day. Women are known to be more often angry at people. And men often get angry at things. You know what it's like, that stupid hammer, that dumb thing, right? Right? Men will get angry at objects more often than they get angry at individuals. Single adults express anger twice as often as married adults. And men are often more physical in their anger than women. Here's a statistic that's interesting. We are more likely to express our anger at home than anywhere else. Duh, isn't that the truth? And you'll find out why later. But I think it's important for us that anger is a God-given emotion. And we need to learn to express our anger appropriately. Now, I began preparing for today's message, and I need to tell you that some of you know, the praise leaders know, that I project what I'm going to be preaching on for like several weeks, sometimes months at a time. And as I began to prepare this message, there is just no way that I can tell you everything that I think God wants me to tell you about anger in one day. It's impossible. I'm hoping it will be possible in two. But I want to share this week and next week, I'm going to be sharing a total of 6 solutions to how we can appropriately deal with anger. And today we're going to be looking just at 3 of them. If you're not a person that normally looks at the outline or normally takes notes, today is your first day. I would highly encourage you to take notes, fill in the outline, and look at this in preparation for next week's message as we look at an additional 3 solutions in managing our anger. And so don't miss this. I know occasionally there are individuals that you cannot possibly, something happens and you can't be here for the next part of the series. And I wanted to tell you that these messages then are available along with the outlines online. And so if you happen to miss, stay up with it, because this is probably the first place that you're going to learn how to express anger in an appropriate way. All right. Solution number 1 to managing anger is this: resolve to manage your anger. The first thing that we need to understand in taming our temper is that we have to resolve to manage it. We need to quit saying to ourselves, "I can't control my anger." Have you ever said that? Have people said that to you, about you, or have you said that about others? They just can't control their anger. We usually don't say it about ourselves, just everybody else. The truth is that we need to stop making excuses for being angry and realize that anger is a choice. You know, people say love is a choice. So is anger. When you get angry, that other person isn't making you get angry. You're choosing to respond with anger to that individual or to that situation. Now, if you think you're not in control of your anger, let me give you a scenario. You're all upset. You're screaming. You're all bent out of shape. And the phone rings. Hello? You could turn it off like that. You could just turn it off like that. Why? Why can you take such an explosive emotion and just shut it off? Because you don't want to let anybody else outside of that safe environment know that you're angry. You don't want to let your anger get out there, and so you just shut it off like a faucet. And since you can turn your anger off when the phone rings or the doorbell rings, obviously you can choose to not be angry. It's no one else's fault. It is no one else that is the cause of your anger. It's a choice that we make. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says this: a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And that word keeps, my friends, shows us that it is a choice. When we get angry, it is because we choose to do so. It is a choice. And our solution begins with resolving. Resolve means that we need to make a choice in advance. My friends, when the blood pressure is rising and the adrenaline is flowing, and in my case, when the veins are starting to pop out of the forehead, it is way too late to turn off the switch. It is way too late. We must resolve to manage our anger before we get into that angry situation. If we wait, we'll lose the battle. So before we get ourselves into a situation, if we anticipate that we're going to encounter a situation, let's say your teenager didn't do what they were expected to do and understand what they were to do, or let's say somebody at work, maybe your boss has a tendency to come and pick your work apart and make you feel like you're a worthless, useless employee. Before that encounter, anticipate that you may have a trigger to become angry. And then in advance, resolve to manage that anger. Solution number one. Solution number two. Remember the cost of losing control. My friends, there is often a cost for mismanaged emotions, and anger is one of them. The more we understand the destructiveness of uncontrolled anger, the more we will be motivated to manage it. At least we ought to be. We're less likely to be angry in an inappropriate way if we recognize that there is a price tag, there is a cost to expressing anger in that way. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:22, an angry person starts fights, and a hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. My friends, one of the costs to uncontrolled anger is all kinds of sin. There is a cost. Proverbs 11:29 says, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. Now, I want you to write this down. I didn't give you a fill in the blank because I want you to write this down, and I want you to write it down. It'll help you to remember this. And it's not even going to show up on the screen. Write this down. I always lose when I lose my temper. Sometimes we think we can win. But write this down. I always lose when I lose my temper. Someone has said that when we get angry out of control, our IQ immediately deletes 50%. And for most of us, that makes us idiots. It's like somebody shoots a hole through our head and all of the good brain oozes out. And all that's left is the part that controls the mouth. And we say things that are silly and stupid and more often regretful than not. What do we lose when we lose our temper? We can lose our reputation. We can lose respect. You get angry enough at your boss, you'll lose your job. You can lose the love of individuals. And my friends, you can even lose your health. Expressing anger inappropriately has a cost. And for those who internalize anger and seethe over it rather than express it, there is a cost for you as well. When we swallow anger, our stomach keeps score. And that internalized hurt and that internalized anger has an effect most often on individuals in a physical way. Many times people suffer from physical ailments and doctors cannot find a physical reason for it. And sometimes it's those emotions that are just stuck inside of that person's being. It is the rage that is held inside and it causes ailments and sickness. And it also results in guilt and resentment. You know, it doesn't matter how well we eat. We can eat a diet that is 100% organic or 100% biotic, if you want, or whatever it might be. But if we're carrying anger inside, we will still not be healthy. There is a cost. There is a cost, my friends, when we lose control. There is a cost for expressing anger in an inappropriate way, and there is a cost for refusing to express anger at all. And so before we choose to be angry, we need to evaluate what that cost might be. Sometimes we learn to use anger to get what we want. And as I told you before, we learn that early. I want that toy. How many times do you go into Walmart and you see this kid going crazy and you think, Thank you, Lord, that's not my child. Yeah. but, we've all behaved that way. Before I had children, I thought when I do have children, they're going to be perfect kids. My kids did things like that. And you know what? I can remember doing things like that as a child. Certainly. We all remember wanting our way. And we think that we can get what we want if we get angry enough. But in the long term, there's still a price tag for that anger. When people get angry at us, we have a couple responses. One of those responses is to get angry back, right? You know, that's usually when it comes to first to hair pulling, then name calling, and then just downright slugging it out, right? Somebody's angry at me, I'm going to respond back with anger. Before you know it, you're yelling at each other, and it's just like crazy, out of control. But when somebody continually gets angry at us, eventually that anger will not motivate us to do what they want. Eventually we throw up our hands and say, you know what? What's the use? I will never be able to please that person anyway. Whether that's a parent, whether that's your boss, we eventually throw up our hands and say, can't please them, so who cares? I wonder how many teenagers feel that way. I wonder how many, don't raise your hands, please. I wonder how many teenagers are at a point in their life where they say, you know, it really doesn't matter what I do. It'll never, ever be good enough. And so they give up. Eventually, that anger that initially motivated, when it continues, not only does that person give up, but there is a day that that relationship is generally broken. There is a day when that relationship is eventually severed. That short-term obedience that we purchase with anger usually will ultimately destroy relationships. Nothing will destroy a relationship faster than anger out of control. My friends, anger has a cost. And we need to remember that. We need to evaluate that before we express anger in an inappropriate way. Solution number three. Reflect before reacting. If you're usually an angry kind of person, you probably already have your finger on the trigger and it's ready to shoot. How many of us would be better off if we reflected before we opened our mouths? You know? Oh, that's very biblical. James says in James 1, 19 and 20, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. We need to reflect before we react. That means sometimes we need to take a little time. When someone gets our goat, someone irritates us, someone gets under our skin, sometimes we need to take a time out. You know, we put our kids on time out. You're on time out, so you calm down, and then we'll talk about this. Sometimes we as parents should go on time out as well, so we have time to calm down before we respond or react. Now, think about this. When someone sends you an email that's irritating, maybe you ought to take a walk before you respond back. Maybe sometimes we need to create a little distance between the offense and our response. Does that change things sometimes? During that downtime, it gives us a little time maybe to reflect and to try to understand why we're angry. Did you ever get angry and wonder why? Sometime back, I read a book entitled The Emotionally Healthy Christian by Peter Scarzalero. And he shared some things about his relationship with his wife. And as he was busy working and their family was going to have zero vacation time, and his wife said, I'm going to take the kids and I'm going to go spend a week with my parents. That'll give you a little extra time just to get caught up on things, and it'll give the kids a little vacation before they go back to school. And he was irate because his wife was going to go with their children to visit her parents for a week, and he couldn't go along because he was busy working. And he thought about it. What caused me to become so angry? Is there a biblical reason why that would be wrong? Is there really a good reason? And what he came up with? And no offense to anybody's nationality when I say this, he said, and his Italian-born mother, the voice in his head from his mom said, "No woman leaves her husband and goes away by herself." And that's what caused him to become so angry. When we have reflection time, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why does this bother me? Sometimes we're angry and it isn't even over that situation. We're angry because the situation kind of pulled the scab off of something that we've never really dealt with effectively before, and now we're angry over something that may have happened years ago. We need to allow time before we react. A few moments ago, I shared Proverbs 29:11 with you. I want to share it with you in a different translation. It says, "A stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it grow cool." In other words, it is biblical to chill out. God says when you become angry, chill out, wait, and give yourself time to think and reflect. Now, did you know that the average male speaks 25,000 words a day? Did you know that? And that the average woman speaks 30,000 words a day. That means, guys, when you come home from work at night and you've already spent your 25,000 words, there's somebody waiting for you that wants to spend another 5,000 more words. She has a surplus waiting to share. And one guy was asked the question, "Does it bother you that your wife always has the last word?" And he said, "No, I'm just glad when she gets to it." Delay can be a solution to expressing anger in an appropriate way. But now let me say this. A delay that never resolves the issue is not biblical. The scripture clearly tells us that we are not to let the sun go down on our anger. We are not to internalize our anger and carry it around with us. And so what this is saying is we need to just delay our reaction long enough to understand why it is we're angry, to make sure we really want to make the choice to be angry in the first place, and to allow the adrenaline to rush to cool off and the blood pressure to go back down, and then when we are in a state that we can talk calmly, that's the time to do it, rather than say, "Okay, I'm not dealing with this now. I'm no longer angry. I don't need to deal with it." Well, the offense still exists. And my friends, if we do not deal with the issue, guess what happens when another issue comes back up again? It's multiplied. And so, delay. Try to understand. And the more you understand your reason for being angry, the more understanding you may be in the situation. Friends, anger is an emotion in the same way that love is an emotion. And God says, love is not easily angered. So if we're going to learn how to love our spouses better, how to love our families better, how we're going to love other individuals in a more mature way, we need to learn how to deal with anger. We need to learn how to express anger in an appropriate way. Now, we have two questions we're going to close with today. And the first question is this: are there situations or relationships where your anger is expressed in a less than loving way? And most people would say yes, if you're honest. Truly. The second question is this: which of these solutions may help you to deal with your anger more effectively? God isn't saying to you, don't become angry. He gave you that emotion. He exhibits that emotion. We need to be careful how that anger is expressed. And so, as we're learning how to love, we're learning how to deal with anger in a way that is not sin. And that should be our goal. I hope that you will reflect on the things that you've learned today. And I hope that you will have the courage to come back next week to hear three more solutions. And I would be the first one to tell you, I'm not perfect all the time and when it comes to anger. And we all have a lot to learn. But let's take a moment and thank God for what he taught us today. Father, thank you that you in your word have chosen to show us even the emotion of anger. So many times we don't understand, and we've been taught to believe that anger is always sin. And Father, we know that that's not true. And so, Lord, we need to learn how to express anger in a way that does not bring destruction to our lives, to the lives of others. And moreover, we need to learn how to express anger in a way that is not sinful. And so, Father, thank you for these truths that you gave to us today. And we thank you that as we choose to follow them, that you will transform our lives. And Lord, we give you that opportunity today. In Jesus' name, amen.